Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. It is verses 16 through 21. This is Jesus speaking a parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room for to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit of my goods. I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. May the Lord add exceeding blessings to the reading of that, the application of a rich man and his goodness. We look at the scriptures and we look at what Jesus has to say about our lives. We do with all that we can to apply God's word to our hearts. We have problems, yes we do. God is gracious and he's kind. He's been faithful to us in ever so many ways. As we begin to look at what God is doing, we need to understand what God is trying to say to us through his word. Jesus is speaking to us about our lives and how we handle God's blessings. He says in this chapter 12 of Luke, he's speaking about a rich man. Now, we wouldn't consider all of us rich, but we are people that are blessed with much abundance. He begins in verse 16 of this 12th chapter, and he spake in a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. You know, we can sing a little song, says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what God has done. Oftentimes we get very serious about our lives and about what's going on, and we get very perplexed when jobs are gone and money's not there and other things are just going every direction and we don't know what to do. And oftentimes we become very confused over the facts of what is going on. But this man here wasn't confused, because the Bible says that his ground brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Now, when Jesus met Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, the words that came out of Saul's mouth says, Lord, what would you have me to do? In this case here, this man's thinking, he says, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Now, there's something there that really perplexed me as I read this and prayed over it. I wonder if he had neighbors that needed anything. I wonder if he had parents that might need something. I wonder if he thought about the poor and the needy and the people that didn't have all the plenty that he had. He's asking himself a question. He says, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow what? My fruit. One translation actually says it's my abundance. I had a friend of mine in the church, one of the churches I pastored, who believed that you could not outgive God. In fact, him and God were on a plan together that he actually thought that any time God gave him something more than he needed, God wanted him to do something with it. And each time that the Lord increased him, one time he came to me and my family was in need of something. Christy was in need of some dental work and a bunch of other things that were going on at the time. And he came to me and he said, Brother Rich, He said, the Lord has increased me and has given me more than I need. And he said, I heard that your daughter needed some dental work done, some braces and things. And I wonder that if it might be that you would allow me to take care of that for you. I'm overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed when the doctor quoted me the price for it. I just had to sit down when he told me how much it was going to cost. And I on a pastor's salary, when you're not making a little bit more than a little over $200-some a week, and your budget's about three steps higher than that, you're almost taken back at what these things do. Brother Rich, the Lord has increased me. I would like to help your daughter. I would like to help your family. He said, I sold some property, and he says, I got more out of it than I thought I would. So I figured that the Lord gave me something that it should be given to someone else. That to me is a generous heart. That to me is a man that is looking more towards God than what he has himself. That's a man that's considering everybody but himself. And he's not going to build a bigger barn or establish a bigger bank account or a bigger IRA or do something for himself. What's his first thought? To search out someone that needs it and to someone that he can bestow it on, because this is in his mind. I figure when God gives me abundance, He wants me to take that abundance and give it to someone that needs what the gift He has given me. What shall I do, he says, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. You know what I see right there? I see someone thinking not of anyone but himself. You know who holds our future? It's not the IRS. They're taking away as much as they can get out of you. It's not the government, because the government is doing more right now to break this country than they are doing to bless this country. It's not your great president sitting in his Oval Office, because he's doing as much damage, if not more, than anybody I know of offhand to the government of this great nation. It's not any of these great big entities that are doing these things. God is the one who holds His future, yours and mine, in His hands. It is Him that will bless you beyond measure. It will Him that will take care of you through no matter what comes about in your family or comes about in your life. Somebody says, we're in despair, someone is sick. David says, God healeth all of our diseases. Do you hear that? What does it take for God to heal all of our diseases? It takes people who humble themselves and pray in faith and trust God to do exactly what God promises to do. Listen to the attitude. You're going to hear some. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. Do you hear two words in there that ring clear? My fruit, my goods. Do you know everything belongs to God? I can take you through this book and show you that everything that's created, everything that lives, breathes, moves, comes up out of the earth, everything that is in the whole realm of this creation is God's. The cattle on a thousand hill belong to whom? No, the men in Texas, one man told me one time. I asked a question from the pulpit. I said, what, like that cattle on a thousand hills, who do they belong to? He says, they belong to them boys in Texas. The Bible says they belong to God. Now, what are you doing with your life? Are you bestowing all this on yourself? You think that beautiful increase in salary or that whatever. Somebody said, I've not got a salary no more. I'm laid off and I'm retired. You know, sometimes we think we're going to the poorhouse. I've got news for you. The Bible says that the church is rich in faith and that the church is rich towards God. Now you tell me who's got the money in this country. Gates? Rockefeller? What's that other guy that looks, dyes his hair red? Donald who? Oh, him too. You look at this and you see the thoughts of someone who has much but decides he's going to keep it all for himself, that he's going to bask himself in. Somebody gives you $10,000. Will you give God a tenth of it? The man I talked about a while ago got an increase of $25,000. He said, I'm going to take a large part of that out. He said, I'm going to help people with it. You know how old that man lived before he died? He was 100 and almost 102 years old when he died. Let me give you his name. His name was Paul Overhauser, one of the finest Christian men I've ever met being on this earth. He says here, he says, I'm going to take mine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. What did he say again? Do you hear that? What is he going to do? I'm going to take thine ease, he says. He says to his soul, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. Does God want us to enjoy ourselves? Yes. He says, enjoy thyself with the wife of thy youth. He tells you to enjoy all these things that He's given you. He tells to enjoy the bread you have. He said to enjoy the wine you drink. Enjoy the things that you have. Enjoy it and know that it is a gift from God. He says, enjoy the fruit of thine hands. I just have fun with my garden because I enjoy it. I enjoy eating it. I enjoy giving it away. I enjoy doing it because it really, the increase is something that really helps me to know God's at work. But you don't just all pile it in jars and cans at the house. You take it and give it to people that can do something with it. Now God steps in the picture. You know, God's been in the picture all the time. You know that? From everlasting, David says, to everlasting, thou art God. People, you will never get away from Him. You will live your whole life in this world and run every direction except towards Him, but I'll guarantee you, in the end, you will meet the everlasting God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God steps into the picture. But God said unto him, thou fool. Now, you know, we don't use that word much. In fact, the Bible says, admonishes us not to call our brother or sister a fool, because then it puts us in danger of hell fire. He didn't say anything about the word. A few other words that almost mean the same thing. But he says, do not call a brother and sister a fool, because you will be in danger of hell fire. This is God, though, but God always speaks the truth, doesn't He? Does He tell you anything that's not true? Does He not speak to you those things that pertain to your life and your future and your eternal life? Does He not tell you all these things, and are all them true? Listen to Him. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul or your life shall be required of thee. Got all this stuff piled up, but you're going to die and leave it. Whoa! That's bad news, isn't it? Got all the big bank accounts. Got everything just humming for you. Got your house paid off. Got everything just the way it ought to be. Everything's just exactly where you'd like it to be. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul or thy life be required of thee. Somebody said, why would you preach a sermon to a group of people that's jobs are gone and they're laid off and all this stuff? I got news for you. I think God's talking to all of us about what He's trying to do in our minds and hearts. I don't think you're as bad off as you think you are. In fact, I think you're a lot better off than most of the world and its situation, because you have the hope of the only true God and His Son Jesus Christ, an eternal life that is going to be given to you at the end of this age. You are far better off than anybody that I know of offhand. Whose that shall be those things which thou hast provided. In other words, who are they going to belong to now? Solomon warns you, he says, read the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes. He says, you put all this stuff up and you build your life, you build your home, you build all this stuff, and the only thing you do, he says, you die and leave it to a, what? The word God sped there. A fool. What will a fool do with all that you have majorly put together? He is going to waste it. And then Solomon writes there on the bottom, he says, this is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Who will these belong to? In verse 21 he says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not what? Rich towards God. We all have something every day. But my good brother in Ohio, every time God gave him something more than he needed, he figured God would give it to him to use it for somebody else. There was an elderly lady just next to his house that she had brought all her grandchildren in because her daughters and all this stuff had left her with all these children. Her first name was Marie, and she was not of his faith. She didn't have affiliation, nothing to do with his faith whatsoever. He made sure that her and those children had plenty to eat and a warm place to live. He made that his solemn duty to make sure that he took care of those needs. He said, the Lord don't give you things to pack up, Brother Rich. He don't give you things to pack up and put to yourself. He don't give you things to put in the bank and draw interest. He don't give you this stuff just for you to use for yourself. He says He gives it to you to put in your hands to use to help other people. Isn't it amazing how God blesses so much? I was going through my closet one day. In fact, I did one last night. I was going through an old billfold. Beat this to preach a sermon like this. Going through an old billfold, and I opened it up, and there was a $20 bill, and I thought, where'd that come from? I had put it somewhere and forgot about it. I was also going through some old pants one day, and I'd forgot all about this too. I'd done a thing at the bank, and you know how you get in a hurry sometimes. I just slipped the money down my pocket and went on home and changed out of my pants and went to work in the yard and done some things, and I forgot all about it. Hadn't wore the pants in 3 months or more. Hadn't even looked at them. One Sunday morning, I jerked them britches off, and I slipped them pants on, put my belt on, reached my hand down there. Wow, boy, this is a good happening. The Lord has just blessed me with $30, and I didn't even know I had it. What do you do with God's increase? What do you do with God's abundance? What do you do with God's blessings? Well, if you're like the fellow up here, you're going to bestow them on yourself. Go buy a bigger barn. Go build a bigger barn. Go buy a bigger safe. Go put it in a bigger IRA. Go put it somewhere where it can do all the things you want it to do. But above all, don't do anything for anybody but yourself. Live totally for yourself. You know what's going to be one of the factors that the reason God is going to end this world and make it as though it had not been? You know one of the greatest factors? He said, men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, and He just makes a whole list of them in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3rd chapter. Selfishness is overcoming us as a people.
We have no thoughts of others. Our whole life is engrossed in ourselves. Our government's thinking of itself. It's not thinking of you and me. We're not at the top of the list, I promise you. In fact, the government today is seeing to the needs of the rich man and his needs more than they are seeing to the needs of this country. Why would you empower people that are at the top of all these great businesses and then turn around and give them bonuses to the tune of $16 to $18, $20, $30 million bonuses to men that are at the top of these great things and are already rich? Why would you do that? And I'm wondering why that great executive in the White House, with all of his power, why he couldn't rip that away from them and give it to the people that need it. I want to know that. In the back of my little itty-bitty mind, I wonder what he's doing besides sitting on his hands. Jesus said he speaks to his disciples next. He said, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, and what you shall put on." Now, what did he just say to you? That your thoughts should not be like this man up here. That your ideas about life should not be like this man. Your whole outlook on life should not be like this person. My first church I pastored for $50 a week. Somebody says, "That's what? $50 a week?" The Lord says, "You're going to Browntown and you're going to be a pastor there in a place called a Cool Spring Church." When the Lord says, "Go," you don't argue. And they said $50 a week, didn't argue either. So how do you feed a family on $50 a week in a house that's a little bit drafty? You pray. You go to that closet, you shut that door, and you pray. Well, I've seen that was an impossibility. I couldn't do that. And the Lord was going to bless me with some people that I never met before in my life, had never seen or heard of. And they were a group of men that were starting a furniture plant in the great city of the Front Royal, Virginia. They were a bunch of Mississippians from Tupelo, Mississippi. They didn't know about as much about furniture making as I knew how to fly a 747. And here is this experienced guy straight out of Broad Hill Furniture Factories that has been in all these different areas of the Broad Hill plant, and he's without a job. Guess who became very close companions? And guess how God took care of the preacher? You lay it in his hands. You trust him. "I've not got a job." "Oh, well, I know God. He'll put me to work." Do you even think about that? When you think about going hungry, you think a lot of other things. But he says here, "I don't want you to think about that." He says, "I want you to take no thought for your life, no thought for your what you eat, no thought for what you put on your body." He says, "I want you to serve me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I want you to put all your trust in me and know that I will take care of you." What's the harvest for? Pack it back. You might starve 5 years from now. Make sure you put it somewhere safe so nobody can get to it. What's the Lord tell you to do with it? What he tells you to do with it is that you listen to what he says and you go take it to the people that need it. Going to be something happening in the day of the Lord, 25th chapter of Matthew. He said, "I was hungry and you fed me." He said, "I was naked and you clothed me." He said, "I was in prison and you visited me." He said, "All these things you did." And he said, "Lord, we didn't do this to you. We didn't even see you any time." He said, "As much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." He's talking to the disciples. In the 23rd verse, he says, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." The life is more than meat. How you live your life and how you conduct your life and how you present yourself before God and how you treat others is much more important than all these other things. But Lord, I'm miserable and things are going terribly wrong and everything is not the way it ought to be. The Bible says, David speaks, the righteous, he says, that he's never seen them begging bread. Or he's never seen them going hungry or he's seen begging bread. Is he going to leave us in the cold? No. He keeps telling the disciples, he said, I want you to make some consideration. Consider the raven, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than fowls? Is he going to let you go hungry? I had an old farmer friend in Virginia. You might know some of them. Coverstones. Anybody remember the word coverstones? Garnet was one of them. There was a whole bunch of them. They were the kind of people that believed if God gave you too much, you're supposed to hand it out. And that was their policy. They made sure if God gave them too many cows, they'd make sure you got one. If God blessed them with a whole lot of stuff, they made sure you had one. They made sure everything was divvied out according to the way they felt God was giving them everything. That's the way they lived their lives. He said, I want you to say this. He says, and which of you taking thought can add one, which one of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubic? I've thought about being taller, but there's no way to make it happen. That's off the list right now. Maybe the Lord might stretch me out a little bit when he puts me in his kingdom and makes me immortal. He might just add a little bit more to me, but I don't think that's going to happen. He said, if ye then being not able to do that thing which is least, why take thought you for the rest? Where's your thinking, he says. God has given us so much and blessed us so much. Are we really like this man here? We're going to provide for us before we provide for anybody else. Or are we going to do like the man I spoke to you about when he found out he had a whole lot? He made sure others were taken care of. Where is your heart? And if your God is so generous that he takes care of everything from the fowls of the air and to the tiny little creatures on the earth, and then he takes care of all these other people, does he stop pouring his rain on them just because they're wicked and they smoke and they carry on and they drink and do all this kind of stuff and they do all this evil in their lives and just live their lives so adversely? Does he not pour no rain on them? He said, on the just and the unjust. So what will we do? Make sure you get plenty of freezers. Can everything you can. Build bigger shelves. Take that wall out in the basement or the one in the house and make sure you make a pantry out of that big enough to store enough food for 5 years. Make sure you do all these things. Get you a safe big as the wall and put all your belongings in that. Things that are very... Every time the Lord increases you, stick as much in that as you can. Make sure you put everything away that you can. For what reason? He said, I will pull down my barns. I will build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. I will say, he says, of my soul, sold, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The Bible says that where a man's heart is, there he will be also. In other words, the thing that you love the most. The Bible says, and Jesus commands us, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. How much do you love him? I heard you singing this morning about Jesus loves me. Truly, if he hadn't, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be in the family of God. If Jesus hadn't loved you, if he hadn't died and shed his blood, you would be in an awful fix. You would be going towards the throne of judgment and the day of God with not one hope in the world. But Jesus did die, and he did make his life a sacrifice. And he did become the Savior of the world and the intercessor and mediator beside God for you and me. And you and I are in a very best position we've ever been in our whole life. Job makes a statement. He didn't carry nothing into this world, and he was going to take it with him. The thing that is most important today about what I'm saying is that you get your heart right with God. That you put things where they ought to be and in their importance, and you live your life in that kind of status and realize that God is going to take care of you even to the very end. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. How long is God going to be with you? Long time. And how faithful is God? Tim sings it. Great is what? Thy faithfulness. Do you believe in him? Do you know him? Do you consider what he's doing? The thing that he's saying here is, God has blessed and the harvest has been good. We've got all that we need and more. But what are we going to do with it? Uh-oh. Go buy a brand new freezer. Get them shelves put up. Can everything you can. Dehydrate everything you can. Lay it on the shelves. Make sure you get plenty there where you won't go hungry. Think only of you. Because if your father hadn't thought of you this morning, you wouldn't be here. And if his mercies had not been new this morning, and all around your life and in you, you would not exist. His mercies are new every morning. Now, what are we going to do with the increase of God? If the harvest is plentiful, what should we do with it? Not what that fellow did. But we should not tear down our present barns and build bigger ones. But we should be generous towards God. I thank God for all the people that I've met in my life that had their hearts more to God than towards themselves. I have seen so many people that their lives are so engrossed in what they want more than they are God. And one of the things that I've found in this church and in a lot of your hearts is that your generosity is gracious and it's kind towards people in need. And I have not heard too many times that you have not answered the call of people that are in need. I give that to your credit. But I ask you please to consider your life and how you are laying up things in this world compared to what you are laying up as your treasures in heaven. Give consideration to this. The Lord comes, people. The King of all the earth will come with the clouds of heaven. He will come in power and great glory. He will raise the sleeping dead. He will establish a kingdom of God here upon the earth. He will do great things. And you are the people that he will do those great things with in the earth when he comes. In closing, he said, consider the lilies, verse 27, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Every time I pass a rose, I think about that. Every time I see one of those lilies that pop up out, those day lilies, and I look at them. Solomon in all of his glory, what did he say? Was not arrayed as one of these. But what he says, if then God so clothe the field which is today is in the field, and tomorrow shall be cast into heaven. How much more will he clothe you? What? O ye of little faith. I believe faith is a thing that we need to work diligently to have more of. Work on your faith. Don't work on your complaining or murmuring. Don't take consideration to what's going on around you and what is going away from you, but consider about what is coming to you in the clouds of heaven. And don't fret yourself, because God is still on His throne and Jesus is still the Redeemer and Savior of man. And salvation is nigh, even at the door.